I've got George Stone. George Stone is trying to get information. He gets all this information and different people that I've played with. See, he got in touch with Pedro.
Uh-huh.
And Pedro, he wanted to know. See, I managed him. He played for me at Kingsport.
Uh-huh.
And then I sent him to Hagerstown. And I got a day letter from the general manager up there. I'd sent two of them up there. I sent Ramos and Salvant. And they said, boy, we're happy with Salvant. They said, this Ramos don't act like he wants to pitch. And he went to the big league, and Salvant went back to Cuba.
Never heard of it.
Aldo Salvant, S-A-L-V-E-N-T. So this guy here was one of the first guys that I ever saw do this.
Forkball.
I said, what in the hell are you throwing, Ramos? His curveball didn't break that much. And he had a pretty live fastball, had good control. And I said, what? He said, forkball. So he'd throw that. That was his curveball.
Yeah.
And I can remember he was pitching for Marstown before I got that bunch. Knapp Rays, you heard of Knapp?
Yes, sir.
Well, Knapp was managing him. And they hated his guts. Because, boy, he was sending them back cutting sugar cane every day. And
he was Cuban, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Knapp Cuban. Yeah, Knapp.
Yeah, right.
And he went to Oil City, and I got these guys. And Ramos included. Well, before I got Ramos, we were playing Marstown, and they had a good team, a Cuban bunch. My God. And Rain was pitching, and in the 13th inning, I hit one over them lights off of old Ramos. That was one thing I remember. He shot one of them things down through there, and I got in the 13th inning. And that's what I remember of him. But I do remember he didn't have a curveball, but he did have that forkball. And there's only, when I played, do you know there was only, outside of that knuckleball, or there was Wilhelm, and there's several of them, there's Tiefenauer, and
Bobby Tiefenauer,
yeah, there's a bunch of these.
Was Bobby in Winston-Salem when you were at Reedsville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of those guys, that knuckleball. Well, I hated that thing. But there was only one other guy that got my goat, was this year, he went to Washington. He's a little guy, and he threw something, I don't know what it was, but it rolled off the table up there. And in fact, he didn't only, all I was doing was just topping it down there. One right after the other. So I'm telling this umpire, I said, hell, I'm hitting that pitch 6 inches off the ground. And I'm hitting his pitch. I said, he's not going to get by with that. Come up. We were playing in Charlotte. He's pitching for Charlotte. What was his name? Well, anyway, they worked the count to 3 balls and 2 strikes. And in men on there. And this little guy cut down in there with that thing. And I'm telling the umpire, I said, now you watch this. I said, I'm laying off of it. And hear that thing come in there and come up right in front of that plate, and just bottom dropped out of it about 6 inches. And he said, strike 3, you're out. Now that's one time that I made some brush fly there, boy. I said, after we had that conversation, and you still call me out on it. You got fooled yourself. I said, I'll give umpires, they're like ball players. But I said, after we discussed that, you should have been really watching that. I said, that's a shame. I said, there was runners on. And I said, you call me out like that. And I never did like to, beef an umpire.
Yeah.
Hell, an umpire is, it's whatever he sees. If he sees, he might be behind it or off to the side. And he sees that, and you're actually out. And maybe you had your finger on it. And there's no use in going crazy over something like that because it's something he didn't see. You've got to give that umpire as much credit as a ball player.
You didn't. I was thinking, you didn't strike out a whole lot for a home run hitter.
No,
not the way they do today.
Oh, I didn't like that striking out. Yeah, I like to get my cuts. I like to get my cuts, but there was one thing I was guilty of, and I don't know why. I have absolutely took good pitches, knowing that guy was going to get a little closer, pitching me away, you know. Mm-hmm. And he pitched me away, and I said, well, hell, I can hit him with two strikes. You know? And they won't throw you that curveball because that's coming in too.
Right.
And you're and that they're pitching you outside. All right, you nip that corner, strike. Well, I'd like to hit that ball, and probably could hit that ball out in there. But I'm saying I always like to pull.
I want to hit it a long way.
So and I maybe here come another one. Hell, it might even be a little better. I just have enough discipline to say I'm going to steal. I can hit him with two strikes. I know I can. And a little bit, he comes all over there. Maybe the best pitch of the whole night, you know, right down the pipe, inside. And of course, maybe if he was throwing hard enough, why, and I wasn't adjusted to him, why, maybe he'd knock it out of my hand or break it off there. I'll tell you one thing I always believed in, and I always told when I was managing Kingsport, I always told those ball players, don't ever allow anybody to throw nothing by you. If you see, I said, you adjust and keep adjusting. If you keep adjusting on him, when he comes the ninth inning, you might be up there. And you've adjusted yourself enough. And not only that, but he's going to be slowing down a little. And you go up there after you made your adjustments on maybe go up a little on that bat, face a little bit, shorten up that stride a little bit, and first of all, mentally walk up there and say, I'm quicker than you are. And then if you've got that in your mind and you're quicker than he is, and I'll guarantee you, you'll unlace some before it's... because I remember one time, you remember this Ron Duren?
Sure. Ron Duren, yeah, wild but fast.
That's what this Bronner guy I played with before told me, he's wild. He was pitching for Anderson, and I was at Rock Hill. And he's pitching, so... Bronner knew him, you know, so they come in, and old Bronner said, hey, Muster, here's old Ron. Ron, Muster Scholes here. Said, who's in there, Ron? Old Pappy, you know, Cocker, you know, him. And old Bronner told me, he said, he can fire that ball. He can fire it.
Yeah, he could.
He said, but boy, he said, he's wild as a buck. Well, that ball game started. And old Duren, I know why they made him a relief pitcher, because he pitches himself out. Mm-hmm. Well, he's then first two or three innings, I could feel myself fouling the ball back this way, and then I think I hit the center field. I said, "Hell, I can't get. I got to adjust on this boy." So he come up. In, I think, about the sixth inning. He'd pitched 6 innings. And I'd adjusted enough on him that I'd never change bats. I always maybe just take my bat and choke it a hair. Mm-hmm. That just that little hair will give you a little extra this. And I faced it slightly till I felt comfortable with those hips. And just shortened up just a little bit. And I said, now, Ron, is up and it meant on. And I said, now, let's see how hard you throw. Because hell, everybody was hitting, fouling back that way.
Yeah.
And then not only some of them, but the catcher was throwing it back.
Yeah.
So I said, now. So they was a couple men on. And George Houseman was manager mm-hmm. for Anderson. Mm-hmm. He went to Mexico that time when that bunch went down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right.
Bagley. Mm-hmm. And...
Gardella?
Yeah,
Gardella went
and that shortstop for St. Louis Browns, Stevens.
Burn Stevens, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I heard the story on those guys going down there. I forget who it was telling. about there wasn't any good. It was good money, you know, yeah. Back in 20,000 or something like that in a big motel. So anyway, he cut one of them down in there, one of them ones he'd been throwing, having me fell back, and I hit that shot. And I'm happy. See, that makes me happy there. If I could, I just don't like that there, somebody knocking a bat out of my hand. I don't listen. I'll tell you what, Arvo, I don't know. These guys play baseball all their minor league, then they're playing in the big league, and you've got guys in the big league that absolutely, that pitch right down the pipe, they'll swing late on.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, that guy's bringing it up there pretty good.
Well, that brings up something. What size bat did you use?
35. I was helping these high school kids out here. They had these little bats, about that big around.
About
28 ounces and 30 or 31 inches long.
Oh.
And oh my God, my cord, it won't break.
You were talking about managing. How long did you manage?
3 years.
Did you play while you were managing?
Oh, yeah, playing manager, yeah. Uh-huh. Managed 53, 54, and 55. And I really...
you were, 40?
Yeah.
Old?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the last year that I played, man, that's when I hit more home runs. I hit 33 down in the Appalachian League.
Mm-hmm.
And...
What year was that?
That was 1955.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I had a good year. That was a good place to play ball, Kingsport. My God, I liked them people. Hell, they'd take up collection for you. My God, there was a constable named John D. Parker, and they had two girls. They had a white helmet, army helmet, and he had one too. He'd take the grandstand, and they'd take the bleachers, and you hit a home run. I don't give a dang. The score was 16-0 in their favor, your favor. If you hit a home run, as long as it went over that fence, they'd start through there. John D., he was a constable. He'd say to the people, he'd say, "All right, put a little something in here for this old boy. All I want is your vote." You know, and they just roll. They get a kick out of it. So he'd rattle that. Well, my God, I'd take $60, $70 home every home run.
So there we go.
One time I took, one or twice, $120 for two. And I had a, they had all kinds of things like steaks, and car washes, oil changes, and drugstore, $5, and this and that, you know. Even had a watermelon advertised, you know. During the game, they'd have different things.
Yeah.
Then they give you them tickets, you know. Yeah. Well, I was living at home. I'd give those boys my steaks and scoby, you know, a nice big steak. Hell, they's on down there on their own. I'd give them the steaks and hell, you didn't want. I'd tell you what, I had a JFG jar, one of them great big ones, and I had a bank bag, and I'd take the bills out. There's some bills too, you know, where the doctors. And I'd take and I'd shake that in there, and I had that thing full, and I'd get ready to go to town the next day. I'd grab a handful, and I didn't have none of the 50s and quarters and dimes, and I grabbed two handfuls and put down in there and spin. Well, that's right, no check, you know.
That's great.
Oh, hell, it was, and it was the best I ever saw that way. Taking up that collection, my God, put something in here for this old boy.
How did you get to Reedsville in 49? When you had that really great year, where were you?
That's a story. So, see, I played in Charlotte. Phil Hauser, general manager.
Oh yeah,
the old Phil.
Yes, sir.
So
Washington Farm Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there. Oh hell, there's so much to the darn story. But actually, why they had somebody, a younger fella, they was prospect. And Charlotte, big ballpark, big double-decker.
Yeah.
And I'd hit 21 home runs in that dang thing. And anyway, they said they traded me. I had a little trouble with Bob Bowman. He was the manager. He pitched for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We had a run-in, I quit. I told Hilton, I said, all right, let's gather up. We're leaving. I said, I got on the bus, left Florence, come back to Charlotte. And I went down to the clubhouse to get my stuff. Phil met me. I said, hell no, you don't. We was in second place. And so Phil said, he's arguing with me. He said, well, he said, would you face him? And I said, damn right. He said, all right. He said, lay your stuff back down there. He reached in there and got $51 bills. He had a paper band around him.
Uh-huh.
He said, here's for accepting that challenge. So he come back, and old Bowman, we had this meeting. He said, well, he said, Phil, it backfired. He said, I did use you for a scapegoat. He gave me hell right in front of all of them on the front porch of the Florence Hotel. So I said, on your feet, goddamn. And Rocky Spadaccini, did you ever know Rocky Spadaccini?
No, I didn't know him.
He was our trainer, and he was played pro football down there in Charlotte. They had a pro team.
Yeah, I remember when they had a pro
team. Dark skinned fella, Rocky. So Rocky, he stood between us. So I told him, I said, you shove it, take it and shove it. I went out and got on the bus and left him back to Charlotte. So, well, anyway, they traded me then to Reedsville. And Tom Smothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tom. I knew Tom.
And they had a day for me there. And Tom was going to give me a... He had the agency for an automobile. I forget what kind it was. And I was supposed to have gotten one of them for that day. And his wife, she didn't like... Tom drank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she said that's too much to give that boy a car for. Said you don't give the others a car. She didn't like me with a damn. And they gave me luggage. And but a lot of people said I was getting Nash. He had the Nash agency.
Oh, okay.
And I said, yeah, I'll see when I get the keys. But I never did get the car. Old Tom. We had old Bill Nagel. We had. You remember Bill?
I remember Bill very well. I sure do.
He's a good friend of mine, Bill.
He played. Of course, he settled in Greensboro. He ran a... What kind of business did he have?
Well, he's in that tobacco. He had a concession in tobacco.
Well, but there, also, he had a heating or an air conditioning.
Did he?
Or something like that in Greensboro. Yeah.
Didn't he have twin boys?
I don't know whether they were twins or not. I remember one of them called me, though, when he died.
Yeah.
To tell me about it. Yeah, he could hit.
Oh, I thought a lot of Bill Nagel.
Hey, who was your manager at Reedsville?
We had three. We had...
Ralph Hodges? Was Ralph?
No, we had Zip Payne.
Oh, yeah, Cecil Zip Payne.
Cecil Zip Payne,
Cecil
Zip Payne, and we had Hatch.
I didn't know him.
Harry Hatch.
I didn't know him.
And... I don't remember him either. I swear to God. I remember Zip Payne, but I don't remember Harry Hatch.
I'll tell you what.
Me to come down there and manage Knoxville in the Tri-State League.
Yeah.
So, Ozzie Blues, you want me to come to Hagerstown? Wanted me to manage that ball club. He said, put me in. He said, if I put you in the middle of that lineup managing this thing, I've got a good young pitching staff. And he said, I've got to have some runs. Run badly. And he said, you can take this ball club and you'll have a winner. He called me in Lexington. Lexington had folded. And Zeke Benure, you remember Zeke?
Oh,
he was
sure
managing
was.
Lexington.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Lexington, North Carolina, Kentucky. Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, anyway, I had told Helen, I said, we're gonna quit this traveling, Helen, all over the country. And I told him that. I told him, I said, you can't find a house, and we've got little young and things. And I said, I want to stay right in around this area. Blues, you said, well, hell, this is a good deal for you, and you can help me, too. And he said, you ain't going to let your wife interfere with you, are you? Oh, he made the devil. I said, that's part of it, you know. So I said, why don't you, here, put it right over there, honey. I said, why don't you get old Zeke? Now, they'd make you a good manager. He said, hell, Zeke don't play. And I said, no, Lord, no, Zeke don't play. He said, so I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll call you back. So after I see her. So I didn't even call her. I went back and I called the Blue Jay. I said, no. I said, I won't be able to make it. He offered me a house and everything in Hagerstown. And I don't know what league that was in. And, well, anyway, I told him about Zeke, so he said, tell Zeke to call me. So I went out to the ballpark, and I said, where you going, Zeke? He said, back to New Orleans. And I said, I think Blue Jay got you a job. I said, call him. So he called Blue Jay, and he got the job. Yeah, I saw Blue Jay a couple of years later, and I said, what happened to, how'd Zeke do? He said, he done all right. I about bankrupted him, but used a new ball for bat practice. And he was a case, that Zeke was.
Talk to me a little more about Ridgeville, where you hit 55 home runs. And I looked it up, 55 home runs and 501 at-bats. That's pretty good.
501
at-bats and 55 home runs. That's hitting it out of, and you hit 359?
Yeah. 359. Now listen, my batting average dropped there. Right at the end of the season, I was wanting to hit six. I was wanting to hit, there was a woman had me in Durham or Greensboro one, had me with, I could hit 60. And I said, back when I was about 48.
Yeah.
And she promised she'd bake me a cake if I'd hit 50. Well, I'd hit 50, and she baked me that cake. I got a pineapple upside down cake like that, and the ball players wouldn't let me cut it on the bus. Said, take that home to your family. And so then I got up there, and then I had some games to play. I said, well, I can do that. Boy, I didn't get nothing. Hell, they throwed me knuckleballs. And I got swinging pitches. And I was hitting hell way up there. I was hitting better than I hit for a long time.
But you hit.
And I was hitting up there. Well, I got hitting their pitch and popping it up and this and that. And I ended up, there's a guy named Brown hit
Bill Brown.
61.
Hit 361. 361. And you hit 359. That's
yeah.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, now here's one thing after I got thinking about it. I never thought about it until later life. Do you know that my lifetime batting average is .337, 2,000 games. Now those base hits had to be through somebody because there wasn't very many of them like that.
Yeah.
Like Teapot said. Teapot said he got me a many a time back of the bag. Well, that's and they used to. I remember back in Texas, back before the war, they swung around.
They put
that shift on. And like Branch Rickey said, we was playing one time, and they put that on. And I got up there, and I was young, and I was showing off a little. And he was sitting, him and Whit Matthews, sitting up in the stand. So I got up there, and I got prancing around. A little bit, I went like that, and it popped up. After that game was over, old Ricky said, okay, you done just exactly what they wanted you to do. He said they couldn't have told you pop up any more than that you done. He said they just outwitted you there. That's all there is to it. He said don't never do that again.
I love the story that I think Cart Howerton, was Cart Howerton on that ball club?
Yeah,
Cart. He told, on the ball club with you. He told me, he said, when he'd get on first base, he was pretty fast. He's a pretty good outfielder, a pretty good hitter. Said he'd get on first base. Him and the first baseman would both play about 25 feet behind the bag when you were at bat. He says the first baseman would say, come on back here with me. We don't want to get hurt.
Oh, hell, this year, I'm going to show you something here. This year, this is this Jimmy Prove talking here about that bat. Let's see. Jimmy Prove. Well, some of them, one of them, he played with this leg. Read that right.
Yeah, right. Shows that plenty of muscle at play. Oh,
and they tell about it's kind of it's a little bit flattering, and right here is the rest of it.
Yeah, okay.
It's a little bit flattering, about looking down a barrel of a gun and all that when you're on first. You know, but...
Oh, yeah. I see.
These people got a kick out of it around here. You know, they didn't know me. And
well, you hit them like that. That was a good league, that Carolina League in 49, because it was compact and it had some good ball players in it. And
that Vaughn was Washington, wasn't he?
Fred Vaughn, Muscles. Fred Vaughn. They called him Muscles too.
Did
but he wasn't built like you.
And Vaughn. And,
but, yeah, Fred.
And
Fred
see, there was old Nagel.
Yeah.
And
I tell you, who always impressed me. He never went to the majors. Woody Fair.
Woody Fair,
was an outfielder for Durham or Raleigh, I forget, but he was a good hitter.
No, he was with Danville.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, with Danville.
Woody Fair.
But he stood up there with his foot down the third baseline.
He did.
Stood with his foot sort of in the bucket, but he'd step into the ball and he could hit. Boy, he could hit. But nobody could hit like you did.
Luis Herrero, a left-handed pitcher.
Sure, yeah. I meant to ask you, but, you know, he went on to the Yankees.
Yeah, and, I know. He went on. He was one of them Ed Lopez.
He was at Greensboro.
He was one of
them. I just wondered, he's a left-handed pitcher. I wondered how much luck you had with him.
Well, he was kind of like Ed Lopez. You know Ed Lopez, the first year I played ball, Ed Lopez was a first baseman with Greensboro. And he, I couldn't find it. I had this Stone boy, got the microfilms of that league. Uh-huh. And I had everybody's average there. He even had a picture of the winner of it. I don't know what I ever done with it. And Ed Lopez, 195, home run, zero. He told me, he said, next time you see me, I'll be pitching. He said, I can't pull. He couldn't pull a ball, Ed Lopez. And then I hit against him in down at... I forget who he's pitching for, but he had that there little, you know.
Yeah.
Took a little bit away and down.
Wasn't very fast, just moved ball around a lot.
Yeah, he just had to be, you don't get over anxious with him.
Yeah.
And who was that there? All right, them three home runs I hit. Did you ever hear the story on that?
No, tell me.
Well, we was playing in Greensboro.
Right.
On a Sunday. Good day. And the first time up, I double. And the next time, I hit one out. Next time. And the next time. And so then it come up for the fifth time. And you know those we were winning by about 12 to 4. And those Greensboro people stood up and clapped and wanted to see another. Well, Emo Schofield, he was playing right field.
Oh, I remember Emo well. Yes,
so
he's a good hitter.
He's the one told me this. I hit that ball, and it kept arising, and they had a clock out there and a scoreboard on right field.
Uh-huh.
And he said that it hit 6 inches. Anyway, 6 inches anyway, right on the corner. It went out for four. And it bounced back, and I got a single, because I give it the home run trot, and but I knew it was gone, and it hit, and come back, and Emo caught it, and I rounded first, back, so I had 16 total bases there, let's see, 12, 14, 15 total bases.
Single, double, and three home runs.
Yeah, there's three other people got that in that league. That's got the record on there.
You got walked a whole lot too. You drew a lot of bases on balls. That year, I know it was 116 walks.
116 walks.
Which,
well, boy, it'd be nice if a guy get 116 walks and get down that line about 3, 5, or 4 seconds. Now, them walks is important, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. What do you see many ball games here? Do you go to the ball games?
No, I just went down and went to that Kingsport game There's she had a ball up there, mounted ball.
Yeah.
They gave me that and gave me the ball I threw out.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Mets signed it, you know. And gave me a cushion and a bunch of... They have cards out for these boys now. Got their name, picture on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that.
So they gave me cards, and I gave them to my son's wife's boy, helmet and different things, you know. I gave them and one of the balls.
What did you do after you quit managing?
Well, that's where that there story there come in. I went to Parkersburg, my home. My brother was a first-class welder at the Electromat, Union Carbide. So he got me a job there. Well, I went in there and I saw right then, hell, that there's not for me. Hell, that there's damn. And no way, there's no... there and back, there and back. So, Jack Diggs.